If you would, open your Bibles up to the book of Psalms. Psalm 46 this morning is where we're going to start, and then we'll be traveling around a little bit on the message this morning. But before we do that, Brother Jerry wants me to make the announcement here. The Bible study at his house is on March the 8th at 2 p.m., which is Saturday. So if you have any questions about that, you can see Brother Jerry about that. But tonight, today, Psalm 46 in verse 10, I've entitled my message today, Our Great God. And a verse that means a whole lot to me, as you probably know from my years being here, is Psalm 46 in verse 10. And here's what the psalmist tells us. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would guide us today as we turn our focus on you today. I pray, Father, that you would use me as your tool, your instrument, your messenger this morning. What I have to say is not important, but what you have to say is. And so I pray that the Lord Holy Spirit will guide me in the words that I say so that your family, your children, would hear what they need to hear. And Father, I just pray this morning as we turn to these various different Bible verses, Lord, that you would just encourage us this morning in our walk with you. And I'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This sermon was prepared before I really thought about the Lord's Supper. And so I started out my sermon this way. Church, when was the last time you just stopped and thought about how great a God we serve? About 5 minutes ago, you know, we all were focusing on the Lord. I said, oh, man, my take-off statement, you know. But seriously, when was the last time you just stopped in your busyness and thought about how great a God we serve? I mean, setting all your cares and your worries aside and just focus on him. Thinking about all that God is, what God has done, what God is doing, knowing what God is going to do in the future. We know that the Bible teaches us that God is all knowing, that God is all powerful, and God is omnipresent. In other words, he is everywhere. We know that. When's the last time you just thought about that? As I was studying, I read this statement. I read this in my study. It said, there was an atheist who wrote on the chalkboard, God is nowhere. But a Christian got up with his eraser and fixed it to say, God is now here. Think about that. Think about this, folks. God is now here. He is in this room right now. God isn't floating out around or somewhere. God is now here, right in this room this morning. We serve a great and wonderful God who knows all about us and is ever present in our lives through the Holy Spirit of God, who will guide us as we walk on our journey toward glory. And because of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are on a journey to the most wonderful place ever. It's a place that the Scriptures calls heaven. Our study in the book of the Revelation will give us a glimpse of what it's going to be like around the throne of God. What's it going to be like around the throne of God as we worship and we praise him in his very presence throughout all of eternity? That day's coming. And I want to share with you this morning some thoughts about our great God, with the hope that we would be encouraged together this morning, that we would be challenged on our journey. I want to remind us of the importance of focusing on the Lord, looking up to him, for in him we will find peace and hope in our journey. Now, the way I wrote this up, I kind of wrote it up in the singular, but it means all of us. Like, the first thing I want us to realize is this morning, God walks with me. God walks with us. But I wrote it down personal, like that, God walks with me. Now, you and I would admit that life is a journey for individuals. Our journey in life began when we were conceived in the womb of our mothers, and our journey will end one day. If you're there in the book of Psalms, turn over to Psalm 139 with me, if you would. In Psalm 139 there, we're told by David that God himself formed us, and before we even breathed our first breath, that God had already written in his book our journey. Think about that. Even before you drew your first breath, God had already written your journey out in his book. Look at Psalm 139, verse 13. David says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet they were none of them." David says, even before I breathed my first breath of air, you have already in your book planned my life. That's what he's saying. God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Think about that, folks. God walks with us because God has planned our lives. He's laid it all out for us. I'm sure we could all share a few stories of the journey that we've been on. Maybe some of those reflections as a youth, as a child, or whatever. My childhood, I can only remember cows. But anyhow, you know. But think about the teen years. Think about your young adult years. And now, some of us, we're making those memories in our senior years, aren't we? But life has been a journey. You started out, you know, as you, when God wrote the book and you started out at your birth, and we're on this journey, we're on it right now. But this is what I want you to understand is this. You have never, ever, ever taken a step alone. Never. For God is with us. God is with us. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 7. David says this. "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." As David focused on the Lord there, he reminds us that there is nowhere that we can go that God is not with us. Remember, God is omnipresent. And so you never take a single step in your life. You never take it alone. Notice the words that Moses said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 3:18. Moses said these words, "And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." The Lord is with you. He will go ahead of you. Think about that. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, gives us a little glimpse of the story that we read in Genesis chapter 12 about Abraham. Remember the story where Abraham, he's in an idolatrous situation, and God calls Abraham to do what? To leave his country, take his wife and his belongings, and go to another land. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham listened to God and he was obedient to God and he left his home. And the Bible tells us that Abraham set out for a city. And this is what he says, whose builder and maker is God. God didn't give him a road map. God didn't tell him to take a left here and there. God was guiding him. God says, "You go, I'll be with you." And Abraham said, "I'm looking for that city, the one that God has made." Church, our life is no different. You see, we're looking for that city as well, made by the hands of God. In our study in the book of Revelation, it's going to be a few weeks, but we're going to see there is a new heaven and a new earth that is going to be made by the hand of God that we are going to spend all of eternity in, if you're a believer today. You see, our life is the same way. The Apostle Paul makes it clear to us that our true citizenship is in heaven. Our life here is but a journey to our new home. God has ordered your steps, and this is just step by step as we go to our new home. Paul says in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, they had that thing there with the military. We used to talk about being sent here and there. It was temporary duty assignment. Well, we got a temporary duty assignment. We got to go here. We got to go there. and that wasn't your home base. And every one of us is on a journey right now, and God is with us, and you're on a temporary duty station right now. This is your temporary duty station. But one day, God's going to lead you back to the station, which is glory one day. And that day is coming, you know, when he's going to take us home to be with him. But unfortunately, the journey is not without difficulties. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I travel, I can expect some delays or trouble. I mean, that road could be empty all day long, and if I get on it, there's an accident somewhere. My beautiful timing is threatened because these people are in my way. There always seems to be some type of trouble on the journey, doesn't it? Even when you don't follow the road signs and you find yourself up in another state you were not supposed to be in. And you can't blame it on anybody because the only person in your car is your wife, so you can't blame it on her, you know. But the journey always has some type of trouble. And our journey with the Lord is no different from the ones that have gone on before us, folks. Hebrews chapter 11 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Bible. It's called the faith chapter. And when you look at chapter 11, you read about all of these saints of the Lord who are serving God, and they had problems in their lives. But because of their obedience to the word of the Lord, God saw them through it. Think about it for a minute. Think about all the troubles that Abraham faced, all the challenges he faced on his journey. Moses had to deal with rebellious people. Job had to deal with the direct attacks from Satan. The apostles faced imprisonment. And poor Paul, he was stoned, whipped, and shipwrecked three different times. And Luke chapter 15 tells us the godly father had to deal with a rebellious son. We're on a journey. God is with us, but it's not always an easy journey. And our travels are going to be no different than the saints that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to experience the same type of problems and the same type of difficulties. All of these that I've mentioned, if you look at the book of Hebrews and the men that I just mentioned in the examples, you know what they did in the time of trouble on their journey? They turned their focus on the Lord. That's what they did. When challenges come, let's focus on him. Let us remember Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. On this journey you're on, and when the difficulties come, why not just stop for a moment? Just stop for a moment and look up. Be still and remember that God is still God. But you know, we have a blessing on our journey as well, because we don't travel alone. We, as I said there, the Lord is with us. God has given to us the Lord Holy Spirit. And every step that we take, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us through his Spirit. Let me read a passage to you from John chapter 15. Listen to what Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you and will be dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Think about this, folks. The Lord is with us through his Spirit to guide and direct us every day. The Lord told Jeremiah this, and Jeremiah, we know, had a very difficult ministry and journey. But listen to what he says to Jeremiah. He says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. He told Paul in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 10, when Paul was facing extreme persecution and troubles, and he wanted to share the word, God told Paul, he said, keep preaching the word, Paul. Just keep preaching the word. And here's what he said to Paul. I am with you. I am with you. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Think about that. I think we would all agree that we are on a journey, and sometimes that journey becomes very difficult. But when the difficulty set in, church, can I say this to you? Why not just stop? Why not just stop and just focus on the Lord? Why not just be still and know that God is still God? He orders your steps. He's promised us that he will always be with us. Matthew 28:20, before Jesus ascended up into heaven, he said this to his disciples. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is a promise to you. And so God walks with me. God walks with you. And when the challenges come, just take a moment. Stop. Be still. And know God is God. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, now I'm not going to share with you any great brand new truth. I just want to share you with things that God has laid on my heart. So God walks with me, but then God supplies all my needs. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 25, chapter 6, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Down in verse 31, he says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." If there's one thing we need to understand and even tell our young people is this, that the world has nothing to offer us. The world has nothing to offer us as a Christian. And our study, we just started a new study in 1 Peter in Sunday school, but over the last 13 weeks, we've been studying the book of Exodus in Sunday school, and we're reminded through that book and that study that God always takes care of the needs of his people. Always. It's when you desire the world over the word that you wind up in trouble. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler, he had everything that the world could possibly offer him, everything. And he goes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he tells Jesus, he calls him the good teacher, and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments," knowing that he couldn't. And the young man said, "Oh, I did that." And Jesus said these words to him. He says, "Take all that you have and sell it and give to the poor, and come and follow me." In other words, let go of the world and come and follow me. But the rich young ruler refused to do that. And the Bible tells us that he went away sad. And he's probably in hell today. Why? Because he thought the world had more to give him than the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, the words of our Lord. He says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus said this, that if you gain everything that the world has to offer and you lose your soul, guess what? You made a bad deal. You just simply made a bad deal. Why? Because God supplies our needs. In Christ Jesus Christ, he supplies all of our needs. Christ takes care of our physical and our spiritual needs. If God can take a few loaves of bread and two little sardine fish and feed over 5,000 men plus women and children and have 12 baskets left over, can he not take care of us? He told us in Matthew 6, don't worry about the food and the clothing. We're to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. God knows your needs and God's going to supply them. God always supplies for our physical and material needs, and he also takes care of our spiritual needs. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 tells us that, Paul tells us that God has delivered us or transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous Son through the forgiveness of sin. God has supplied your spiritual needs. He's moved you from here into his kingdom. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius, who was the Roman centurion, remember him? He used to pray and give alms to the Lord. And one day he just could not get spiritual rest. And he's praying to the Lord because he just couldn't get spiritual peace. And God told him to send for Peter. And the Apostle Peter comes and the Apostle Peter shares the gospel with him and his family. And the Roman centurion gets saved. Cornelius gets saved in his household. And it opened up Peter's eyes to say this. He knows for sure now that God is no respecter of person, that the gospel is for everybody. 1 John 1:9 tells us, even in our times of personal rebellion, Christ is able and willing to restore us to the joy of our salvation. Jesus said, if you're faithful and just to confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so there is not a physical need or there is not a spiritual need that your Heavenly Father will not provide for you. Church, Philippians 4:19 is still true today. Philippians 4:19 is still true today, where it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So when you're struggling spiritually, or when you're doubting about how you're going to pay your bills, or how you're going to afford a dozen eggs, or whatever, when that challenge comes, this is what I want to encourage you to do. Just stop. Just stop. Be still. Know that God is still in control. Just stop. I can give him praise, for he is the source of all my needs, both physical and spiritual. Not only that, but God gives me strength to face my challenges. And in Isaiah chapter 41, one verse there, verse 41, chapter 41 and verse 10 says this. I love this verse. He says, fear not, for I am with you. There it is again. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Did you hear the promise there, folks? The wonderful promise from God. Fear not. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. You are in my right hand. Now, every one of us face times of weaknesses, do we not? You know, think about it. God's word, which is perfect, records for us some of the weaknesses of his people, of his servants. We talked about Elijah a few weeks ago. Remembering the story, we didn't look at it in chapter 19 in 1 Kings, but Elijah, after he had the great victory over the prophets of Baal, and then Jezebel threatens to kill him, he runs from God. He winds up, you know, in the wilderness there, but yet God supplies food and rest for him, and then God meets him again in the still voice in the cave and recommissions his. But the point I'm trying to make is, here's this prophet that defeated all the false prophets. 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. But in a moment of weakness, he ran from the Lord. Moses, in time of frustrations, revealed his weakness when he struck the rock. Remember, God said, Moses, speak to the rock and the water will come out. And he got so angry with the people and frustrated, he struck the rock. He wasn't able to go into the promised land because of that. The gospel records for us the struggles and weaknesses of the apostles. They were men and women. They were men just like we are. Listen to the words of the Lord to the apostle Paul during his time of weakness. Paul says this. Remember, Paul was experiencing a time of weakness. He had prayed God three times, please remove this thorn from my flesh. And here's what the Lord said. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And Paul responds, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast in my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Folks, all of us, are going to face times and challenges where we just become weak. And when we become weak and the struggle seems to be too hard for us, when we are struggling handling all of the sinful world is trying to give us, remember this, your strength is in the Lord. Your strength is in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is my salvation. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If we go to the New Testament in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, sometimes when we face those challenges and we face those moments of weakness, maybe we just need to be reminded what the Apostle John said in 1 John 4:4. This is what John said. He said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. Think about that. Whatever this old, evil, wicked world is trying to do to me, the one who lives within me, the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God, is greater than any enemy out there. And so I can find the strength to face the challenge. Because think about this, folks. When the task is that large, if I will just stop and be still thinking about God and giving him praise, I realize this, that the strength that I need for that challenge is already available to me. Because it's not in me, it is in him. And so he gives us the strength. And God loves and cares for me. I'm going to read John chapter 15 there, if you want to turn there, one verse, John chapter 15, and looking at verse 13. I wrote here in my notes, and I put this on the singular, all these things. God loves me and cares for me. I wrote here in my notes, no one ever loved me like Jesus loves me. Think about that. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. In spite of all my failures, in spite of all my sins, Jesus loves me. God so loved me that he gave his one and only son to die on a cross to take my place, that I could receive the forgiveness of sin. We are love, folks. We are love, church, with an unconditional, unending, unchanging love from God. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, that in while we were sinners, Christ died for us. No one ever loved you like Jesus loves you. And then I wrote, no one cares for me like Jesus cares for me. Over in the book of 1 Peter, Peter shares these words with us. And we're studying 1 Peter, so I hope you can come out to Sunday school and join us for that study. But 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now listen to verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Nothing can weigh me down, because in Jesus, all my cares are upon him. The Lord Jesus Christ cares for me. John chapter 10, we know the Bible, Jesus speaks about being the good shepherd. We're his sheep. He is our shepherd. We know him. He knows our voice. And he tells us that we're safe and secure in his hand. And no one can separate us from his love. Psalm 23 is a very beautiful picture of the way Christ cares for you and me. He provides for our needs. We've talked about that already. But think about the psalmist says he leads us into green pastures and beside still waters. He takes care of our needs. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He gives us comfort in times of distress and even death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He provides a table for us right now and through all of eternity. God loves and cares for us. Don't let the cares of this world get you down. Stop and spend some time, quiet time, with the Lord and give him worship and praise. I wrote here in my notes, if nobody in this world loves you, he does. If nobody in this world cares about you, he does. Don't let this old world get you down, folks, for the Lord loves and cares for you. And just one more thing, God's promises to me. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. The Bible is full of all kinds of promises from God to his children. But today I'm going to focus on just one. It's my favorite one. It is my favorite one. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has promised me a new home and also promised that one day he would come and receive me into that new home. John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said these words, if you believe in God, believe also. He says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's a promise from God. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, Paul tells us that there's coming a day, and we're studying the book of Revelation, and we know that day is coming when the trumpet will sound, And when that trumpet sounds, we will be called up to be with the Lord. And we'll be called up to be with the Lord throughout all of eternity. What a day that will be. What a promise we have from our Lord. So church, in the busy world that we live in, sometimes we need to stop and focus on the Lord. Give him praise for what he is doing and what he has promised to do for us. Psalm 46:10 has just been such an encouraging verse to me, because I learned one thing in my journey and all the uncertainties and the challenges that I've had in raising a family, in my ministry, and all of that. I've learned this. When the challenges come, just take a moment, get by yourself, be still. Remember that God is still God. Stop and focus on him and his greatness. He is our great God, and we just need to be still and be reminded of that. And here it is, all summarized. Listen to me, church, please. There is not a day that goes by that God is not walking with you. There is not a day that goes by that God will not supply all your needs. There is not a day that goes by that God will not give you the strength to face any and all your challenges. There is not a day that goes by that God will not love and care for you. And there is not a day that goes by that God will not keep his promises to you. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. May we spend some time and just be still. Know that God is God. Set our minds on our great, great God. Remember what the psalmist said as we opened this morning? He said this, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We serve a great God, and we need to worship and praise him. And so, church, if I can encourage you to do anything this week, maybe just spend some time focusing on our great God. Everything we discussed today here is true of every believer. If you've never trusted, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen to us on Facebook this morning. If you never put your faith and trust in Christ, then these promises aren't true to you, but they can be. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe that God is raising from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we would encourage you today. It's an invitation is given that if you need to trust Christ, come. Or maybe this morning you just need to spend some time alone with the Lord and you want to come and pray at our altar. Lord's altar, I should say. Or maybe you'd like me to pray with you. Whatever the need might be, we're going to pray now and then we'll have our invitation. But let me pray. Father, we thank you for the day. And I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share your word. Father, as we get ready to have invitation, I pray, Father, that you have been honored and glorified through your word this morning, through this worship service that has taken place. We thank you that you're here with us, and we thank you, Father, for the words that you have given to us from your word that just challenges us, encourages us. But, Father, we need to spend some time just looking to you. And so may your family today take a moment or two and be still and know that you are God. We'd ask your guidance as we close our service, as we sing this song of invitation. If there'd be a need, may we come and ask you to take care of that need this morning. We'd ask it in Jesus' name.